By birth and inclination, I am indifferent, aloof. Not a loner necessarily. I can be found near people often enough. A floater, tethered to the world and its concerns, yet hovering above it, observing, taking the measure. I have a natural affinity for things of the air, clouds, pollen, attics, weather balloons, a hawk adrift on a sweltering breeze, the cold sparkle of distant stars. In grammar and rhetoric I favor indirect objects, anabasis, silence. In mode of thought I tend towards abstraction and open-ended speculation. In ethics, the empty gesture and sins of omission. I am close cousin to Kafka's bucket rider, flying over the squares and tiled rooftops of Prague on his empty coal bucket, looking down with quiet content at the people and birds below, even as the air grew cold around him, ever more exhilarated by his indifference to things as he drifted up and off into the ether. With each passing year, my hoverings grew more extended, my preferred atmosphere colder, the distance between myself and others greater. Increasingly drawn by the lure of the not yet, finding it somehow stronger than the ever-present tug of the already, I tended to follow wherever it led. A tendency with consequences, of course, for the connections I sometimes made with people and places. I stayed when I should have gone, drifted away when it would have been better to stay. Though I sometimes put up a token resistance to the strange forces I otherwise obeyed, in the end I always found myself left. The people left, whether I wanted them to or not. The places, too, strange as that may sound. I let them go, one after the other, watching as if from a distance as my life unfolded to a slow rhythm of drifting and leaving. I suppose it was inevitable, then, that I should eventually begin to take leave of myself. It began with what one might call aptitudes. One morning, while getting dressed, I came to the button on my trousers and found that it was gone. Not the button itself, of course, the ability to utilize it. The fingers of my right hand took hold of a small, disc-shaped object, then froze, something important about that object already missing. I simply had no idea what it was I was supposed to be doing. A basic skill acquired at the age of 4 and never again considered. Absent. It was not a question, I knew, of suddenly lacking the ability to do whatever it was I was supposed to be doing. The knowledge or understanding of the thing was gone as well. It was as if the necessary program for executing this specific function had been erased from memory. Not a single aspect of the nature or operation of a button, beyond the simple fact of its name, remained. Nor was this disappearance related to the onset of some physical or mental shortcoming, a sudden defect of vision or nerve leading to a correspondingly impaired capacity. I hadn't lost the ability. It had left me. The departure of buttons was followed in short order by the ability to work any type of fastener, zipper, lace, buckle, snap. By the ancient piece of code that made it possible to blink my left eye. By the standard words of response to everyday linguistic overtures. By my name. No great loss, really. It never seemed to belong to me anyway. My brain, as if by way of apology, does its best to fill in the gaps, uploading the program for stepping onto an escalator in the sudden absence of the ability to climb a staircase, for example. Or, with even less elegance, having me put my hair into place with the rough side of a dry face cloth. I'm mostly at peace with all of this leaving, this process of being abandoned by myself. In all honesty, I always felt like too much somehow. It doesn't bother me to become less. I never know what will leave next, of course, which is somewhat troubling. Though in general the leaving seems a benign process, I wouldn't mind having a small say in it. Everyone hopes for some measure of control over their fate, after all. My own, it seems, will be decided by a rather random process of disappearance. Whether my eventual demise is painful or tragic or pleasant or absurd depends almost entirely upon a sequence of leaving that I will not author. The ability to respond to pain could desert me, for example, while the ability to feel it remains intact. Or I could find myself bereft of my innate sense of decency and commit one shameful act after another. Then again, I could just as easily find myself free of bitterness and anger and all of the myriad impediments to peace. I could lose the need for words altogether and simply be the light and shadow that meets my eye, the vibration that resonates in my ear, the air that moves over my skin. Best of all, I think, would be to lose the instinct for self-preservation, as strong in me as anyone else. I would then be free to pursue what I've always imagined to be my destiny. I would make my way to the top of the tallest building and let myself onto the roof. Unfettered from any concern for my physical well-being, I would explore the boundary between matter and air, walk along the building's edge as if on a tightrope, close my eyes and align myself with the earth's spin and transit, stand on the very edge of things and step out, bridging the gap between what is there and what is not. I might fall, which would be fine. I might hover. Or maybe, as I have always secretly hoped, I will simply float up and away.